Father God, we just praise you right now in the name of Jesus. We come before you as humble children into your presence, Lord, and just thank you for being with us as we came in, Lord. But we just now yield ourselves unto you. We open ourselves up to receive from your word, to hear and to listen, Lord, to partake then of your word and to let it do something in our life, Lord, to allow it to make the changes so that as we leave here, we're a little different than we came in, Lord, because of you, your presence, your people, and your word, Lord, that you minister and use them all to minister through and to our life, Lord. We praise you for it. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, we all said amen. 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 So this morning I want to talk about being free from sin, okay? Free from sin is really the title that I came up with. There's a couple other ones that would fit it as well, but free from sin. The first thing, if you're going to number them out, if you write down or take notes, number one would be the truth will set you free. Okay, so if we're going to talk about being free from sin, we got to get to the truth of it all. Let's start with the truth. It makes sense. I heard the other day about relativity of truth, that truth can be relative to your situation, and that you know, you can stand by a river and call it a lake. If you want to call it a lake, it's true to you. And I thought, no, it doesn't work that way. There's only one truth, and that's the truth of God. And especially when we're looking at his word, you find out the truth, the understanding or the knowledge of God comes forth from that. So although I'm not much for preaching on sin, you know, like I said, I don't like to hound on it and to make people squirm so much, although some of that does happen. Most of you are already aware of right from wrong, right? I mean, I don't have to tell you something's wrong necessarily for you to know that. The scripture does do that, and we have gained that ability to know right from wrong all the way back to the beginning from Adam and Eve. Remember when they ate of the tree, it was called the tree of knowledge of good and evil, right? So from that moment on, that we've had this awareness or an understanding of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay, so people since then have struggled with sin, and more particularly to the freedom from sin. How do we be free from it? We know what's wrong, but I keep doing that which is wrong. Even the Apostle Paul said that, right? That at times he would even do those things that he knew he shouldn't be doing, you know, and he wanted to do things, and those are the things that he didn't do. He at times had struggled with it. So from that time, even on up to now, there's a lot of struggling going on when it comes to being free from sin. What is it that we're wanting to be free from? Now, you don't have to raise your hand necessarily, but think about this. How many people have ever had a quote, besetting sin or something that just seems like it just keeps coming back? You know, you might get some relief from it for a while. You might seem to be overcoming in that area. And then all of a sudden, here it is 2-3 months later, and wham, it's back in your life. You don't understand what happened. You know, it seemed like you were free. You know, you had a little bit of freedom for a while, but then it kind of overpowered you again. You know, or from time to time, maybe it comes back and then it's back in your life. You know, things like sexual sins or losing your temper, jealousy and pride, gossiping, doubt, things like that, or just to name a few. I mean, just some things that sometimes we seem to be getting victory and then all of a sudden, it's like it comes back. You know, what is it with that? How can we be free from that? Well, I want to give you two things that are going to help you to have permanent victory over some of those kinds of areas. Okay, permanent victory. One is the truth that I'm going to share with you over the next few minutes. We're going to look at the truth from the Word of God. And the other one we're going to get actually part of next week. But I'll tell you, we're going to watch a video clip or a couple video clips of a preacher that did a great message on the mind and heart connection. But it has a lot to do with renewing of your mind, like that scripture we read before the service. Because if you don't renew your mind, if you still think the same way about whatever, fill in the blank, you still think the same way about how people treat you and it makes you mad and you're going to yell at them, or you still have the same thinking deep down inside about women and you see them as an object and so that sexual stuff keeps coming back or whatever it is, if you don't change that thinking and you don't renew that, you'll never get the victory for long term. You'll be able to do it short term, but not always for long term. So we'll look at that a little bit deeper in next week about the renewing of your mind, that the Word of God and how that is essential to walking as a victor or victory in victory as a believer. Let's start with a scripture in John chapter 8 this morning, 8:31 and 32. Then said Jesus to the Jews, to those Jews which believed on him, He said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Right? So it's pretty easy to see there. He says, if you continue in what? Okay. In the word, continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. That's where we're getting it from. And the truth shall set you free. Okay, well, Jesus here in this example, it says that he spoke to those Jews. He said to the Jews which believed on him. Okay, that means that he was speaking to a people that was a lot like some of the people in this room or the people that we know that had a knowledge about God. Okay, the Jews were not oblivious to God. They knew something about God, right? They knew that he was to be worshipped, right? They had, you know, known the laws of Moses. They had been a part of this for a long time. And so they weren't oblivious to it. And that's the same as a lot of Christians. We're not oblivious to the things of God. And yet sometimes we miss the freedom that is available in Jesus. Okay, and that's why he's speaking to them, because they weren't getting the freedom part. They weren't realizing that he was bringing them some a new concept or a new way for them to be entirely clean and clear, okay, 100% free. A lot of people today line up their thinking with these Jews, where they actually believe in God, right? We believe in God. That's great. Now you have as much faith as the demons, right? Doesn't it say that in the Bible? Where is that? I think I threw that scripture in. James 2:19 says that. It says, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Okay? So to believe in God, okay, how many people? I mean, this is just real life here, but if I'm out in the world, I got a lot of family and friends. I'm going to see some this week. Family that I haven't seen for a long time. How many of those people, and I know a few in my own, they know God. They believe in God, but that's the extent of it. They don't have that personal relationship yet, but they believe in God. Okay. A lot of people also believe in God, but they believe in Jesus. Okay. Some of the same people I'm talking about, they believe in Jesus. Believe he was a good man. Believe that he walked on the earth. Believe that, you know, he taught good things. He taught about treating others the way that you want to be treated, right? He talked about loving your enemies. He talked about pretty good things. And so people can believe that much about Jesus, but not still yet have that true intimate relationship with him. And some of those people have never yet yielded themselves to Jesus as the Christ, as their Savior, and most importantly, as their personal Savior. That saves them from their sins. Jesus offers a complete freedom from sin that many do not yet grasp. Okay? Not to the full extent that we could. Why do those things kind of come back once in a while? I tell you, I've got some victory. I'm telling you something I understand from walking in this that you're going to get today, that there's a freedom in it when you really grab on to the freedom that Jesus gave us. Okay, it's more than just a willpower issue. It's not where your problem lies. It comes in understanding what Jesus is trying to get across to them, that I came to set you free indeed. 100% free. That's what he came to set people free. That to that extent, not just a little bit. Okay, a lot of people today have an understanding. They live still in the religious form of Christianity, where they clean up their life the best they can. They try to live for God the best that they can. They try to eliminate the things from their life that they know are bad or evil or against God and his ways. And to those people, just like Jesus is saying to these Jews, Jesus says, you need to know the truth, and the truth is what is going to set you free. It goes deeper than just knowing about God. It goes deeper than believing Jesus walked on the earth. He was a good man. It goes deeper to believe in what Jesus Christ came to earth to do. What did he do? Why did he do it, and what did he do? He did it for us. He did it for you and I, that we could be free from sin. These folks misunderstood, thinking that Jesus was talking to them about a physical bondage like slavery. Remember, he says, you know, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They thought he was talking about a slavery or a bondage to another man. Okay, but Jesus was talking about the ability to be completely free from the bondage and the control of sin. Completely free from the control and the bondage of sin. After Jesus tells the Jews that believed on him that they shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free, this is what the next verse says in John chapter 8, verse 33. We read 31 and 32 a minute ago. Now we're at 33. They answered and said to him, "We be Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage to any man. So how sayest thou, you shall be made free?" But Jesus answered and said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abides not in the house forever, but the Son abides forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." Okay, now you as a Christian, who is your Lord? Who is your master? It's Jesus, right? We are not the servant of sin any longer because of what Jesus came to do. Okay, you've got to get that into your head. You are not a servant of sin anymore. You do not have to obey when the sin tells you what to do. When you're being tempted, you do not have to do that. Okay, you're going to have physical parts of you that want to do it. You're going to have your mind thinking it's okay to do it or you should do it. But you do not have to give in to that. Jesus Christ came to set us free so that we could be free indeed. Okay, who have you submitted your life to? Who do you call Lord? Do I go around saying that, you know, the devil is my Lord and sin is my Lord? No, Jesus is my Lord. So if Jesus is my Lord, I am no longer a servant of sin anymore. That is not what I'm called to be. As a Christian, we don't want to be, and we literally don't have to be, the servant of sin, having sin as our master, dictating what we say and what we do and, you know, those kinds of things. We don't have to give in to that anymore. So Jesus explains to them and to you and I that that part of the gospel that so many people don't yet grasp is that he makes you 100% free from the lordship of sin. 100%. Not a little bit. He doesn't strengthen you in certain areas of your life and then you have to work out the rest of it with your willpower. He doesn't save or cleanse you from part of it or to make it so that you have victory over some sin, but there's other ones that are just always going to be there. He didn't do that. He came to make you 100% free from sin. That's what he came to do. That was part of his mission. That's what God called him to be here to do. You no longer have to allow sin to dominate or to control any area of your life. To be free indeed doesn't mean that you're going to have some relief from certain sins or maybe up to a certain point, and then you're going to have to strive to overcome the rest. That's not what he did. He came to set you free. He set you free from its power so that you could live the life that you're called to live by him. He didn't tell you to do something and then not empower you to be able to do that. Number two, Jesus came for this purpose. Okay? Jesus came to set the captives free. Okay? If you want to think of a scripture. Which of you seriously want to negate the gospel of Christ? Who in here would say, no, I really don't want Jesus to get the full glory, you know, for the work that he did? None of us are going to say that. We want him to get the full glory, so we need to understand what he did. Okay? Some of you are still thinking and living like Jesus Christ did not accomplish what he came to earth to do. You're still allowing that sin and giving it place to the point that you're saying, that has a greater strength than my Lord. That has a greater strength than Jesus Christ because I can't overcome it. It's all about me trying to overcome this thing. And the fact is, Jesus Christ came and kicked what he needed to kick, right? He did what he needed to do, okay? So that could be conquered and wiped away so that you could be free from that. You don't have to give in to that continually, okay? You're still living like sin is still your master and your ruler. You're living out your life convinced that the besetting sin is just too strong for you to ever be free from it. It's just too big. You don't know, I've had this my whole life. It's just too big. Okay, there's some factual stuff here that some of that is rooted in physical bondage. It's rooted in physical addictions, physical things that your body is craving and those kind of things. The bigger part of it is what's up here between your ears, okay? That hasn't been renewed yet. You still see that. If you're thinking that that is too big to overcome, it has not been renewed. Your mind has not been renewed by the Word of God that says Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is the Master, that He is my Messiah, that He is big enough to do all these things, okay? So as Jesus was going around teaching the people about the new covenant of God, he goes into the synagogue and he begins to teach, and someone hands him a book. It was the book of scriptures they called Isaiah the prophet. Okay, and Jesus begins to read out of this book and to teach them something. And here's what he read to them out of Luke chapter 4, verse 18. He says, "The Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to preach deliverance to the captives." Now we're talking about being free, right? Okay, so he sent him to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and he sat down. And all the eyes of them were in the synagogue, were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Amen. It's done. He said, "I came to set the captives free." And that's what he came to do. "This day is that scripture fulfilled in your ears." Jesus plainly says that he was anointed by God to preach deliverance to the captives. But yet, he didn't go around saying, "You're going to be free from your boss. You're not going to have a master at work anymore." If we're in slavery, he didn't necessarily say, "You're going to be set free from that kind of stuff." He was talking to them and saying to them that by faith in him, they were going to be free from the captivity and the bondage of sin. That's what he came to do. That's what he was here for. The Apostle Paul reminded the Galatians at a different point to hold on to the understanding of their freedom, because they had grasped it at one time that they were free by the blood of Jesus Christ. They're set free. And so he begins to tell them, hang on to that understanding of your freedom in Christ. Don't go back under the bondage that was associated with the keeping of the law. That's where a lot of the strength of sin is in the keeping of the law. Okay, don't go back under that. Galatians 5:1. Paul told them, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Don't go back to that. Don't allow that bondage or to lose your sight of the freedom that Jesus came to give you. Simply put, Jesus Christ changed the way that your right standing with God is obtained and maintained. Jesus made it different. It is no longer the outward checklist that you strive to accomplish that is part of the cleaning up yourself so that you'll be right enough or good enough for God mentality. Your righteousness under the new covenant has already been accomplished by Jesus Christ, and now you live it out by faith in what He accomplished. We live it out by faith in what He has done. Number three, you have to know this, get it into your spirit. You are not a servant of sin, but you are a servant of righteousness. You are a servant of righteousness. Romans 6:16 and 17 kind of chides them a little bit. "Know ye not? Know ye not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked, you were the servant of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you." In other words, Jesus came, taught them about grace, and now in this, he's talking to a different group, but it's the same concept, that you were taught about grace, you were taught that it was about Jesus, you were taught that he was the one that walked it perfectly and sinless. And so he's saying, you once were a servant of sin, you once were walking underneath the weight of that bondage, but now you are set free from that. You once were the servant of sin until you were taught, learned, and received the new covenant gospel of God's grace that He sent through Jesus Christ. You were the servant of sin. See yourself for who you are now, not who you once were. Okay? The eyes of your understanding have been enlightened, it says in another place. We were not the same anymore. That's part of the born-again experience. Romans 6:18 and 19, the next two verses. He says, being then made free from sin. Wait a minute, that's what we're talking about today, being free from sin. He says, being made by God free from sin, you became the servant of righteousness. For I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. Okay, that's what gets people in trouble. For as you have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now, live from who you are now, even so now, yield your members as servants to righteousness unto holiness. In other words, your flesh had learned to yield itself at one point before you gave your life to Jesus. Your flesh had learned to yield itself to that sinful nature. Okay, it had learned to yield and to give in to that. That was just commonplace. But when somebody said, you know, don't do that, that's immediately what you wanted to do, right? Okay, that's your flesh wanting to do the wrong things. Or even though you knew things that were not good for you, you know, you would go and do it anyway because you were yielding to your flesh instead of yielding to the Spirit of God. Okay, that's why your flesh and your mind have to be renewed. You bring your body under subjection and you renew your mind by the Word of God. We're now instructed to yield yourself and yield your members, okay, that means all parts of you, yield your members to the ways of God. He now lives in you and He's going to lead you perfectly in His path when we refrain and restrain our flesh and our mind and submit it to God instead. We say, God, my life is yours. My body is yours. My mind is yours. My spirit is yours. We give it all to God. Okay? And don't think that it's up to you to do all the manipulating and changing in your mind. Okay? Don't take it all on yourself that I can quit doing this. You know, anybody ever tried dieting? Man, we do it all the time, right? I'm going to, you know, quit eating those cupcakes at 10:30 at night, you know. It doesn't work. Okay? But if we give it to God, and we say, God, my body is yours. You know where I'm at. You know I need help. I can't do this. Okay? You yielded at some point, yielded your spirit to God and said, God, I give you my life. Okay? Go back to that and say it again. Well, this time, use your body and your flesh and your mind and say, I give you these too. I give you everything. You know, when the Apostle Paul said, I die daily, that was part of what he meant. He was having to, you know, parts of him were still wanting to do stuff that wasn't of God. He still had a lot of law, a lot of, you know, other stuff in there. And so he was saying, I got to die daily. Got to go back to God. Say, God, I give you my mind because I can't change it. The Word of God is what changes that. The Word of God is what makes it different. Okay, we're now instructed to yield our members to the ways of God. Just as your flesh had learned and been allowed to do the wrong things, you now have to retrain your thinking to do the right things. Okay, seek to yield, as you think about this, seek to yield your life to the right things, yield to the right, instead of stopping from the wrong or focusing on averting the wrong or not doing the wrong things. Think about just yielding yourself unto the right. You yield it unto God. Okay, you'll begin to see a transformation taking place in your life. God has changed you at the core of your being. He changed you in your heart, in your spirit, so that you can now produce the fruit that is holy and right with God. He did what He needed to do. He wanted your life to glorify Him. So He did what He needed to do. He sent Jesus, allowed you just to simply put your faith and trust in what He did. And He says, now you can live right. Now you can live out of that holiness that He has called you to. Look at Romans 6:20. Next verse. It says, for when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. You weren't doing the right things. But, and He says, what fruit had you in those things whereof you were now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, this is the new you, but now being made free from sin and become the servant to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and unto the everlasting life. You now have that in you, the ability to do all the right things. You are now free from sin as your master, and you have become God's holy servant. That's His plan. That's what He made you to be. That's what God wants you to live out from that. Number four. Short little section, but just to remind you that sin shall not have dominion over you. I know we sometimes think it does. It's too big for me. It really gets us going, right? We start thinking, I just can't. I want to, but I can't. You know, I need to be better. I need to learn more. The idea is that we need to realize that sin shall not have dominion over you. Now, because of the change that Jesus brought us, God has made it so that the power of sin has lost its power over you. Okay, and I say by the change in the covenants, okay, Jesus brought a new covenant, a new contractual relationship between Him and us. And it said, I'm going to write my laws on your heart. You will obey me from the heart, from the inside out. It's not going to be about the commandments posted on the wall and we check them off anymore. We're not going to live that way anymore. Jesus came with a new covenant that said, I'm now going to infuse myself into you and empower you to be right, to be holy, to live out the ways that God wants you to live. And that's the way that He came and did that through and in us. Okay, so because of that, sin has lost its power over you. Look at Romans 6:11. Go back a few verses here. He said, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. It has no strength. It has no power. It is completely dead, and I am dead to it. It has no victory over me. It has no strength over me anymore. He says, see yourselves as to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it and the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself to the good. Yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness. That means let all of your life be good for use for the good of God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. That's why I said it's about the covenant flip. It's when Jesus brought that, He said, you're not under that. Law doesn't, it doesn't have that strength anymore. Another place in the Bible, it says the strength of sin is the law. Okay, it's when you have a checklist of all these, don't do this and don't do that, and you need to do this more and do that better. When you have that, you just empowered that. Okay, to now, oh, I didn't do it right. You know, and it's all in your, gets into your head. You begin to look at these things on the outward checklist that people needed to do to be right with God. Okay, but when Jesus puts that ability to keep and to do the right things inside of you, it doesn't come from you and your strength now. It comes from Him and His strength. Okay, when that happens, then sin loses its power over you. And no, it's not bigger than Jesus. It's not stronger than Jesus. So look at it that way and know that Jesus Christ is in me and that I have victory over all these things because God had that plan from the beginning. Last little bit. Number five, simply live the truth of the gospel. Okay, a little bit earlier, we all said, and I asked a question, and not one person said you wanted to trample the gospel of Jesus Christ under your feet. Not one person said that you wanted to not allow Jesus to have all the glory. That means hopefully we want Him to have all the glory that's due unto His name. Okay, we want Him to get all that. Therefore, we now commit ourselves to simply living from the truth of the gospel. Jesus Christ said, I have come to set the captives free. He said, you put your faith in the Son of God shall set you free indeed. Okay, Paul and others write to us and say, sin has no more dominion over you. You are not under this stuff anymore. It has no more power over you, and that you can live from that. So live from the truth of the gospel that has been obtained, the freedom that has been obtained for us through Jesus Christ. Okay, say this with me. Say, I am free. From the power of sin. Sin no longer dominates my life, but the righteousness of God rules my life. Okay, that is not just speaking positively. That's not just speaking what you want to see. That is speaking the truth of the gospel. That is who you are. You have been set free so that you can live in that freedom. You're simply speaking out the truth of what already is in your life. Okay, that's living out the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. Okay, we can receive and believe on that. Father God, we praise you this morning. Thank you again for your word, Lord, that you show us so much, Father, about you. And yet this, Father, it seems so simple, and yet so many are still missing it. We're still seeing sin as bigger than we are, Lord, or bigger than you are. And Father, it's just not right. I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, help shape our thinking so that we see it the way that you see it, the way that your word says it, the way the truth is, Lord, that you have set us free from that bondage. You have made us free that we may live in righteousness. You have made us so that our fruit can be holy and righteous unto you, that you have done this for us, Lord. So we now put our trust and our faith in you. We believe in you and we yield to you in every area of our life, that all parts of us, Lord, that we say, Lord, my spirit, my soul, my body, I am yours, every part of me. Those things that have tried to come against me from time to time, Lord, I give those to you. I give my life, and though that particular area or part of my life, to you as well, Lord. I give it unto you, saying, you take it. You have your way. You are stronger. You are bigger. You are better. You are more powerful than anything that could come against my life. And in Jesus' name, we give it all unto you. Father, we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Simple truth of the gospel. That's where we're at. The simple truth of the gospel.